Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. Hello, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. I'm excited today to be interviewing Richard Friesen, the creator of the Mind Muscles Model. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Well, this is my pleasure. I've listened to some previous podcasts, and I really like the way you draw out the best in your guests and the skill you have. So I'm excited to be here, and let's find out and let's discover what issues we can really help your listeners with.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, for those of you not already familiar with Richard, he works with independent and professional traders who want to increase their consistent profits. His neuroscience-based mind muscles model gives his clients the opportunity to reach their goals with online training, simulations, interactive exercises, group support, and real-time decision processes. Richard has been a futures broker for Merrill Lynch, a floor trader on the CME, CBOT, and the options floor of the Pacific Exchange, where he built and sold a successful options trading firm. He also founded and built a financial software company and is the inventor of 10 significant trading interface patents, which I thought was very cool. This combined with his master's degree in clinical psychology, an NLP master certification and neuroscience focus, allows him to bring a unique framework to trading success. Again, Richard, thanks for being here today, man.
Well, we're really looking forward to drilling down on some issues that can make a difference, reframe some problems, and create an invitation to new behaviors that actually serve your listeners better.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Now, I got to ask, you've been in the trading world for like 40 years now.
Are you calling me old?
We're not that far apart in age, but
yeah.
what is it about trading that's kept your interest for all these years, though?
Well, I started out as an accident. One of my college buddies, Joe Ritchie, who founded an option trading firm, Chicago Research and Trading, mm-hmm. and so he said, "Hey, there's a lot to do here." So I thought, well, rather than stepping into that, I'll get my feet wet first at Merrill Lynch. So for me, it was a total accident, and I didn't belong on the floor, and I can go through that. All my own psychological processes were wrong. So there was a big mountain for Rich Friesen to climb for in an arena that wasn't his natural habitat. But what did work was my background in philosophy and psychology and self-awareness allowed me to climb that mountain and eventually get to the top.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that, in looking over your history and everything, most of your occupations have been in, the financial and business worlds. And I mm-hmm. thought that was an interesting combination, considering that your undergrad degree was philosophy, if I remember correctly. And then you also mm-hmm. got a master's in clinical psychology. Mm-hmm. How have those two kind of blended together?
When I was doing my own work, learning to trade, looking at my own belief systems, my identity as being a wealthy person, my behaviors. So a lot of the psychology turned into a process of self-awareness and improving my own processes. And then when I started a trading firm and I had a trading methodology and I had my own firm, stepping away from my previous employer, is that what I noticed is about a third of the traders, they would look at the methodology, look at our systems, risk reduction and all that, and they would just take off and make money. About a third of them would do okay, not bad, but just kind of average. But a third of them just couldn't do it. Same training, same markets, everything was there. So what was the difference between here and here? Mm-hmm. Mindset. That was the only thing. So as I started working with my traders, I discovered that, I created a pyramid. And at the top is knowledge. Do you know what a market is? There's skill. So how do we interpret that knowledge and turn it into actionable behaviors? And there's knowledge and skill. And then there's beliefs about ourselves, beliefs about our future. And then below that are, there's behaviors, and then there's beliefs, and below that is our identity. Mm-hmm. And what was amazing was, as we looked at the traders who weren't doing well, most often it would get down to the core of their identity, their worthiness to walk on this earth, to have meaning, to be successful, that there was something so deep that said, you're not worthy. And I had my own experience with that. And I can tell you a short story if you want.
Yeah, sure. Because, as far as the pyramid, the way you describe it, I've heard a similar structure in other fields,
sure.
Trading space. But it's one that I think there's a lot of merit to it. So, what's your story?
When I went on my own, the first year I was very careful. I mean, I used to have hundreds of millions of dollars of capital available, but I went on my own. So the first year I made 125,000, next year 150, 175, then 200, 200. And I was in the third year when I was trading Micron options, and Micron just took off and you couldn't help but make money. So in the first couple of months, I was up $200,000 and then just couldn't break that $200,000 barrier. And then it was in the middle of the night, a voice woke me up and said, Rich, you're only worth $200,000. Woke up, looked around the room. Wife was sleeping beside me. There was nobody else there. And I realized that that was a constraining voice within me about my own worthiness. So I got up really early, showered, dressed, drove across the Golden Gate Bridge, went to the floor of the exchange, and it was still locked. It wasn't even open yet. So I looked at my history. I thought about it. I thought about that voice, and I thought, I'm done. That voice finally expressed itself in a way that I could actually engage it and be done. So I went to the pit I normally stood in, and Rich Friesen, philosophy major, psychology, stood at the back of the pit looking at option values, traded, nibbled here, nibbled there very carefully, didn't confront anybody. So I went and stood in the best spot in the pit between the two busiest brokers, right in front of the exchange staff with that had orders, so I could hear everything. Well, on the floor, you don't own a spot. That's owned by the toughest, the meanest, the most well-capitalized, the strongest psychological person there. And sometimes that psychology was pretty mean. So I went and stood there. And so that when everyone else started drifting in, the guy who always stood there kind of looked at me, looked at the clock, looked at me, tapped me on the shoulder. I didn't move. Bell rung. Rich, I can't yell because I'll blow everyone's with a microphone there. Well, I'll do this.
Buy them. Sold 5. Sell you 100. Buy 50. Sold.
The pit thought that Rich Friesen had gone berserk. But what happened was there was that internal identity that was just holding me back. And I went on to make many times that. And from that, I built a trading firm.
Very cool. Yeah, well, so as far as identity or, specific limitations, sometimes I'll refer to them as mommy daddy issues, a phrase I picked up a while back. And it's funny because I've had conversations with others in the trading psychology space. And, their position is that, if you have a limiting belief, it probably happened, something, you got when you were a child from your parents. And what I find funny, one time the person I was talking to, she's like, well, it's because it's something that you're probably something that, this is what we'll dig deep to find is, what is it that your mom said to you when you're 5 years
old? Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So, but the question comes up, it's like, okay, so where do you think that $200,000 limitation came from?
Yeah. Well, if I look back, I grew up, lower middle class. Father was an evangelical preacher. The real value in the world was spiritual values, not monetary values. And in fact, that's the foundation for the book I wrote, Private Conversation with Money, that I trace some of my own and many of my clients' beliefs around money and issues like that. So for me, It was, does Rich Friesen deserve to be worthwhile in a financial world as versus a spiritual world? But for everybody, it's different. So for example, one of my clients grew up in abject poverty in West Virginia, you know, but lots of relatives, lots of clan members that would get together every Sunday. And so he had this whole community of poverty. And when he was really smart, and when he started getting a lot of zeros in his trading account, he would give it away. So we brought in a hypnotherapist, and with work, the voice was, if I'm wealthy, I will lose my family and connection to all my roots and everything. Mm-hmm. So we worked with him to say, okay, how can you both be wealthy and maintain your roots? And then he's a smart guy. So he said, yeah, of course. But that voice deep inside prevented him. Another one, trader, had a handicapped brother that mom doted on and got all the attention. And so under hypnosis, again, he came up, and the thing was, if I'm wealthy, my mom will expect me to take care of my younger brother, who I resent for getting all the attention. And we could go on. There's many stories like this. And what you pointed out was so important, that sometimes these little beliefs, the younger we are, the more they metastasize and connect to the rest of our lives. And sometimes they're just BS. Sometimes they're just a concept that little kid has, that because they're there in neural connections in the brain, that the rest of the brain neural connections form around them and build. And until we can bring them up in awareness, they prevent us from the success we want.
Oh, yeah. Now, you mentioned hypnotherapy a couple of times. Now, I know you're also an NLP. You've got a master's education in NLP. And I thought it cool also that you've got a certification in Gestalt therapy.
Yeah.
So do you blend either of those into the work that you do with people?
Oh, yeah. Especially the NLP is, well, NLP, when it started out, was just a bunch of toolkits from observations that some of the best psychotherapists, you know, you kind of watch them, you look for what they do. Oh, here's a tool. But I went to NLP Marin, and they synthesized this into some deeper stuff, best training I ever had. So a lot of that is there, hypnosis. And what I do from the Gestalt point of view is a lot of physiology. For example, if I'm trading with a client and we're doing it live, do we have time for another short story? A client who would make money, boom, lose it. Make money, lose it. In fact, that's the typical equity curve of the clients that come to me. Steady, 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 boom. Steady, 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 boom. So went over to his office. It was in the Bay Area. And he started trading in a sim or a demo account. And he was pointing things out. Now, here's my process. Here's the strategy. Nope, this doesn't quite fit. And he was saying, okay, now this is setting up. So this is interesting, but I need this and this for this to happen. That didn't happen. Okay, now here it's happening. Boom, execute. Okay, it got stopped out almost right away. He says, that's all right. You know, 2-3 times, you know, out of 5 or 6, it'll get stopped out. But when it hits, it'll go. So I said, okay, let's go live. All right, now you got to be careful, because they're going to get me here, because, you know, they just manipulate the market. You got to watch out. His breath got tight. So I went, okay, what do you notice physiologically? My chest is tight. What's about your heart rate? It's up. What about your stomach? I got tense and tight. Tell me about your voice and your throat. My voice is tight. Okay, let's exaggerate. The reason I do this is because the physiology tells the truth. We lie to ourselves. We lie to others. We have all these pretenses to keep our world in order. But the physiology, actually, just like that voice in the middle of the night for me, it has a message that is unfiltered. So we exaggerate that. And okay, how old do you feel now? Oh, I'm 7. What's going on with Bobby when he's 7? His dad says, you'll never amount to much. holy mackerel. So from there, all of a sudden, we can bring his father in. And what you pointed out earlier was really prescient in terms of the work that I do. That now that we know that he is trying to prove something to his father, when he's trading the demo account, it didn't matter. But now that it's real, he has to get his father's approval. And I know that for a lot of people, they're going, well, no, no, not me, not me. So then I ask, you know, a client who says, not me, not me. I'll say, okay, what stops you? And I'll watch them very carefully. What stops you? And oftentimes they will register in their face or their body, their physiology, some indication of what is deeper. And then we can start to work from there.
Very cool. Well, so the Gestalt, that's primarily tying the physiology into it, correct?
Yeah, a lot of Gestalt is physiology. The one thing that Gestalt lacked, it got to awareness, it got to expression, it got to all the voices, but it didn't have a comprehensive way of putting it all back together for better behavior. Just kind of, in my opinion, at least back at the time, it could get into a just a continued cycle of self-awareness.
Okay. Well, I had to ask because not being a trained in field of psychology formally, my understanding of Gestalt therapy was primarily that it's like, okay, you know, you're upset with your father, you know, pretend that your father's sitting in a chair. What would you say to him? And so, you know, you go ahead and yell at your dad. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to trading, I was like, okay, I gotta explore this a little more because I can't imagine you sitting here working with somebody saying, all right, your dad's sitting in a chair and you know you're trading, nowhere to get to yell at him.
Well, you know, but what we do is we can uncover with awareness that father's voice, and how it impacted us, especially when we were younger. Yeah. And sometimes there's just a lot of tears as we start to release that.
Oh yeah.
And the important part is then now to invite people into a new behavior. In fact, if you look at the chart behind me, what we do is we have an application where we list all the issues that no longer work for us. We list in the kind of the purple there, the behaviors that we want. And then it's an easy click to turn it into green, yellow, orange, or red to determine where we were on any particular day or a particular trade. So when I have a client, I can go to their chart, we share it on Google, and I can see exactly where the behaviors are that no longer work. And there's more to the chart in terms of their executing their strategy, what we call lucrative and lousy trades, so that I can... in about, you know, 15 seconds, really see where the issues are and start to work with them there.
So that chart, that's part of your Mind Muscles program?
Yeah. So for private coaching and part of our online courses, they can access the chart and start to see visually impact exactly where the issues are that keep them from the dream that they want.
Very cool. So how did your mind muscles model? I mean, how did that come into being anyway?
You know, as I explained earlier, it started with me, my own awareness, my own processes, my own lack of worthiness, then working with my own traders on the SIBO and the Pacific Exchange options floor and seeing what, since they were trading my money and risking my capital, it was really important that they do well. So working with them then came across all these issues. In fact, I just found, I was cleaning out a closet. I wasn't going to mention, but I don't see, but here's the one of the original manuals I had for my traders, you know, that's around 40 years old. But I reread it, and there was just a lot of wisdom there, you know, just collected from actual trader behavior.
Very cool. Well, at what point did you get prompted to write your book, A Private Conversation with Money?
Well, what I noticed was that, especially in trading, what value are you delivering to the world? And so the traders that I hired all had really good hearts. My clients, the ones that don't have good hearts, they fall away real quick. But the clients who are independent traders, there is guilt or a lack of total rapport with making money. So as a result, that expression of a good heart often sabotages trading success. So the book then takes a character, Joe, through all the issues that my clients have experienced around how the frames they think about, how it stops them from success. And he works through them with a character called Money. And there's exercises for each one of the issues that people have around money. So it's not a book about trading, but it's a book about meaning, success, wealth, and money.
Oh, very cool. Huh. Now, in the book, you've got, what is it, 10 keys. Is that correct? Can you give us an overview of the 10 keys?
Yeah. So every one of those is an exercise that is free online for anyone who purchases the book. Okay. And the exercises deal with every issue that my clients have. So it could be, what does your peer group think about money, meaning, and success? So they go through and they answer a bunch of questions and it comes up with scores. And if you're in a peer group where, especially let's say in today's bifurcated political world, but if you're in a peer group whereby there's victims and persecutors and there is unfair distribution of wealth, well, if you are to step into success, you might lose your clan. Neurologically, we are programmed to stay in our clan because, you know, on the plains of Africa, if you got excluded from your clan, you died. Mm-hmm. So we still have those neurological leftover feelings. So like, for example, one of the exercises is, what if I step away, if I have beliefs of worthiness and step away from the frameworks of my clan, do I survive? So we bring that from out of subconsciousness to awareness. Then we look, say, okay, how do we want to solve the problem? So that's like one example of the 10.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Huh. Well, now with your site, where do you have your main focus? Is it on the book or with your training or one-on-one coaching? I mean,
don't ask that question where my focus is. That's not fair right now. Well, just personally right now, mm-hmm. I'm 76 and I'm saying, okay, where do I put my focus? My concern is for my grandkids. I got 6 of them. What world are they stepping into? I'm looking at the world as it is. I wrote a blog called Extreme Events. So as a way of making decisions rather than being the frog in the, slowly heated boiling water. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the events around and asking that question. And right now I'm in the middle of angst around that very question. So you just asked the hardest question you could.
Yeah. Well, what you're bringing up there, that's a very real thing that people are dealing with nowadays. The angst and the anxiety of it all. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially looking to our posterity and, kids and grandkids and that kind of stuff. Yeah, definitely. Very valid concerns. And well, that said though, all the more reason to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and attending to our own issues that hold us back from fulfilling our own potentials.
Yeah,
might not be able to fix the world, but we can at least address, our small part of it, and those that we affect, and can have some impact and influence on. So, good that you're doing the work that you're doing. Is generally the best way for people to reach you your website, or do you also concentrate on specific social media channels, or like I said, it's your website probably the best place to catch me.
Yeah, you can go to the website and there's links to all our social media. People can email me, rich@mindmuscles.com. I'm available. I'm always eager to have a conversation with traders who are frustrated or on their path and want to accelerate it. So I'm a yes-saying open person, so I'm easily available. Rich@mindmuscles.com or mindmusclesfortraders.com. And the book is on Amazon, A Private Conversation with Money. So if anyone wants to get a hold of me, they can do it. And I'm always up for a brief conversation.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, and on your site, I mean, you've got the book, of course. Now you have the one-on-one coaching. You also have courses, correct?
Yeah, there's our biggest course for traders is Compass. And Compass takes us through the five core issues that most traders face. And there's exercises, there's assessments, there's written materials, but they're all aimed. In fact, you know, if we look at self-help books, and I look at my, you know, I've read so many of them, and most of them, I'll just read and go, yep, boy, that's right. Yep, yep, yep. Put it away and nothing changes. So what our goal is, if you have the courage to step into an exercise and experience it, it will change your life. But it takes that willingness to step into the exercises versus saying, oh, that sounds like a good exercise and moving on.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yeah, very true. A notion I heard recently, I really like, speaking of the same thing. He said, if you read a book, but you don't do anything with it, then you haven't really learned anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't affect change, then you haven't really learned anything. You just took in information, but that's it. And I thought that was kind of cool. So yeah, good that you do that with the exercises. Cause yeah, I agree. It's actually that's one change I've made a couple of years ago myself in reading books is instead of just getting plowing through a lot of books, I'd make sure that I take the time to slow down and actually apply what I'm reading. So I don't read nearly as many books, but I'm getting more out of them. So
that's wonderful. That's an excellent process.
Yeah, it's good. Well, like I said, it's good that you're kind of building your you know your offerings and your teachings that way though. So it is guiding people toward taking action on it, not just more information. So very cool. Very
exactly.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I have to ask because it is the Consistent Profits podcast. What do you see as probably one of the top one or two obstacles traders have to making consistent profits?
Yeah, if we look at let's start right with a beginner. They look at the marketplace as something to learn, like brain surgery or plumbing or electrical, and they assume that there is a body of knowledge and that the markets obey a physical world, just like an electrician knows, you know, you've got the neutral, the hot, and all that. So they figure if they just learn it, they can then execute it and make money. So these subconscious belief is I'm going to make money. It's going to feel really good and I'm going to make more money and it's going to feel really good. Well, if that were the case, then everybody would want to make money and it feels good. I mean, you can't beat that combination, but the market is designed and it has to be so that it feels stressful or bad or whatever, because if it both felt good and it was something you could learn, everybody would do it and we'd all be rich. But everybody piling in, the markets then create the most challenging processes in order to complete that. So my job with my clients is to give them joy in trading and to reinterpret that pain in ways that it doesn't incapacitate them.
Huh. I like your choice of words. Yes, the pain. It often does wind up that way. Well, excellent. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's good insight. So, Richard, thanks for sharing all that you have today. Very worthwhile, for sure. I even picked up a couple of things I hadn't thought about before. So, very cool. For everybody that's listening today. If what Richard has to share with has shared today, if that resonates with you, definitely swing by mindmuscles.com. Check out what he's got.
Mindmusclesfortraders.com.
Mindmusclesfortraders.com. And I'll make sure that the link is down in the description and show notes below.
Okay.
Yeah, if like I said, if what he shared, you know, has resonated with you, don't just you know, say, oh yeah, it was, you know, cool podcast, and then go about your day. If it resonated with you and you would like to improve your trading, yeah, go ahead and swing by his website and you know, engage in what he's got going on there, and take some action on it so you can realize some benefits. And again, Richard, thanks for taking the time to be here today. We definitely appreciate it. And
well, Brian, I really appreciate the conversation, the questions you asked, and it just was, I think, really germane to a lot of traders, and love to help them and love to see everyone succeed.
Yeah, indeed. And again, for everybody that's listening, I applaud you for taking the time out of your day to join us and, you know, seek to grow and develop as a trader and seeking out help. So, you know, again, kudos to you for taking the time. And everybody, you know, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely subscribe. And thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by Inside Out Trading and pick up your copy of The Proven Formula for Consistent Monthly Profits. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.